Accept these, our gifts of gratitude, and also gifts to continue your Holy Spirit's work and wind and fire in the world. Amen.
This morning, our scripture reading is the classic Pentecost reading. What I want you to do, as I am reading through this, I want you to, if you close your eyes, don't go to sleep. But imagine, I want you to imagine that we are in Jerusalem. And if you know anything about your heritage, if you know any of your genealogy or whatever, think about where you came from, where your folks, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, great-great-great-grand, you know, you got the idea, came from. And I want you to picture this great collection of people. Now, the passage starts with just the disciples, but quickly the crowd comes. And you are both the disciples and you are also the crowd. I want you to think about if you were the disciples that day and this crowd came, what would you do? How would you react? How would it feel? But I also want you to think in terms of if you were the crowd and hearing and seeing and feeling all of these things. Okay? So from the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one room. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem and in Jerusalem at that time. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard the disciples speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speak about the power and about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying, "What does this mean?" But others sneered at them and said, "Oh, they're just filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. "People of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both male and female. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the Lord coming of the Lord's great day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God bless the reading and the hearing and the experiencing of this word. How many of you know a little bit about your genealogy? You know what your background countries are? At least a little bit? I know that you weren't born here, but you know what? Somebody in your ancestry wasn't, unless you are 100% Native American. Your folks came from somewhere else. Your family came from somewhere else. Not a single one of us in here, unless we are 100% Native American, is 100% American. We came from somewhere else. Now, fortunately, I know some of my background, and I'm what they call Heinz 57 mix. In the dog world, it's called a mutt. I'm a proud mutt. I am a mixture of so many different nationalities. Most of them European, but not all. We have Scottish and Irish. That's very heavy on my mother's side. We have Russian and English. That's very heavy on my father's side. We also have some sort of Scandinavian in us, some sort of South American, which we can't figure out what the link is, but somehow or another that all happened. And I forgot to tell the folks last night, I even have a great who came from Thailand. I have a very mixed background. And you know what? If you do the research, I bet you'll find you do too. And all of these people came to America. Or their children did. The Scottish and the Irish I have to talk about for just a minute, because I do have the journal of my great-great-great-grandfather. They came from Scotland and Ireland. They lived in Scotland. I have their journal of their first year or two here in the United States. You know, we think it's... we're so far removed from where we began. We don't think about them coming to America. And there's already, you know, a number of nationalities that have moved here. And they came with their deep Scottish brogue. And the Germans couldn't understand a thing they were saying. And told them they were foreigners and they needed a home. Of course, the British had already told the Germans to go home. And the Slavics had come in kind of under the radar. I mean, you know, we're a mixture, folks. And we all came in to this country, and we had to find common ground. We had to find a way to be able to communicate with each other. We had to find a way to get along with each other. We didn't eat the same things. We didn't have the same religious traditions, believe me. You could ask my grandfather if he was alive, and he will tell you the huge differences between the German Lutheran Church and the Scottish Presbyterian Church. Oh boy! We had to find our way. By the blessing and the power of God, we had to find our way to create a nation out of a conglomeration of people who came from all over the place. We did. And I truly believe that the power of the Holy Spirit enabled us to work out our differences, to be able to come to common ground, to be able to come to some common traditions, and in some cases to just honor other traditions. There are some people still in the United States who don't eat pork. That's okay. Unless you're going to the barbecue tonight. That's not okay. But, you know, we eat pork, so we're okay. There are some people in the United States who will not eat leavened bread on some days of the year. That's okay. There are some people who love lamb. They have traditional ways, delicious ways of cooking it. There's some of you that wouldn't touch lamb if I prepared it and put it on a gold platter for you. Good old beefsteak now, that's a whole other thing. We can accept, we can honor, we can cherish each other's traditions, and yet still speak a common language of love. And speak of God's powerful deeds, just like they did on Pentecost. Those people came from all over the world. They didn't speak the same language. But the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, were the ones that were able to make a way so that they could understand. Everyone could understand everyone else. So folks, that is our job. It is our job because those people, those disciples are us. We're the ones that are already following Jesus Christ. We need to reach out to the folks who don't know about the powerful deeds of God. And we need to reach out in a way that's meaningful to the folks we're reaching out to. What's meaningful to you and I may not be the same thing that's meaningful to somebody else. But I look around this room and I see creativity over the top. You people have all kinds of ways of expressing yourselves. You have all kinds of ways of doing things. You're not the same. Have you noticed this about you? I mean, I'm not going to point fingers here, but there's people in this church who don't do things the same way as each other. Is that shocking news to you? Don't let it be. And don't let it stop you from doing things together. We're called by Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit to help others learn in their ways how to worship God. Then we can share. We can share our ways, we can share their ways. And together, we make a very, very strong church to celebrate on Pentecost. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, while you were here on earth, you shone with the light of God. Your countenance was a shining light and a beacon to the entire world. You gave us everything. You taught us what we needed to know. You showed us the way in which we needed to go. And then you gave yourself up for us to enable us to follow that path, that way, that light. Lord, all you want us to do is shine for you. To just shine and be able to praise and magnify your name and all the wondrous deeds you've done. That's what you ask of us. To shine so that others can see Christ living in us and want to know more. To shine and to tell our story. To shine and to do your works in the world. To shine so that all may know we are yours. Lord and Savior of our lives, let us shine this day for you. Amen. If you have not guessed already from that prayer, our hymn of commitment is Shine, Jesus, Shine, which we have sung before. It is a newer song, but it's a wonderful song, and let it rock. You know, let it be a good rhythmic song to get us going and get us energized, and let us shine. Stand up and say.